Let's read just a little bit over in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. The first verse, 15th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now right here, there's something I'd really like for you to notice. I read this passage of scripture the other night. I'd really like for you to notice this. He says here, I preach the gospel to you. He said, this is the gospel by which you are saved. I preach the gospel to you. This is the gospel by which you are saved, providing. I have preached the gospel to you, and this is the gospel by which you are saved, providing that ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Now, how have you understood what I said? Notice this. Unless ye have believed in vain. Brothers and sisters, you need to really notice that now. I preach the gospel unto you, and this is the gospel by which you are saved, in that faith cometh by the hearing of the word of the gospel. The gospel by which ye are saved, whereas we're told here, the gospel by which you're saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you. That is to say that all of these things that I tell you about holiness, godliness, patience, brotherly love, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, godliness, all of these things that I tell you, if you do not keep these things in remembrance to apply these to your soul and to your heart, if these does not stay within your memory, if you do not keep these things within your memory to keep your mind stirred up on those things, to do those things, though you may go on saying, I am a Christian, you may go on witnessing that you are a Christian or a believer, but the Bible says you have believed in vain. If you do not keep these things in your memory to apply them to yourself, to incorporate them in your life, though you believe that you are all right and you believe that you're going to heaven and you believe that you have salvation and you believe that you are saved, but all of your believing, Paul said, is vain. I'll read it to you again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. It's obvious that they had received it. It's obvious that they stood within it just like the Bethlehemites. By which also ye are saved. It's obvious that it had saved them to that extent. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. All right. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I would say that this passage of Scripture would perhaps be one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. If you'll notice, it says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It says Christ shall reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Whereas the Bible says that when all enemies have been put under his feet, it is evident that he is accepted who hath put all things under him. Which means that this particular thing cannot and will not happen until the end of the millennium reign. There will not be a complete all over victory of what God is doing until the end of the millennium. Now, there is already a complete all over victory in that Christ Jesus at Calvary finished the work. But when I say that there shall not be an all over victory, all over, I mean that people will not accept what has been done in their behalf. It is evident that this is the millennium that he is speaking of, because the Bible says the last enemy to be conquered is death. Whereas, according to the Bible, death is not conquered until after the millennium. For the Bible says that at the end of the millennium, that death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. Whereas it is evident that Jesus must reign throughout the millennium until the end of the millennium, then when he hath thoroughly conquered death, at that time when he hath conquered death, the great Ancient of Days will then take over. But until he hath thoroughly conquered death, then the Ancient of Days cannot take over. The Ancient of Days cannot take over until the sonship is thoroughly finished. That means that Jesus must of necessity reign 1,000 years upon the throne. You see, a president reign for 4 years. That's supposed to be a great thing. Roosevelt went for about 12 years. That was a great thing. You see, a king reigned for a lifetime. Maybe 30 years on the throne. There was Solomon's kingdom for about 40, David's for about 40, Saul's and so forth. But here we hear of one lone single individual that shall rule and reign for 1,000 years upon a throne. 1,000 years he shall reign upon his throne. Not only shall he reign upon his throne for 1,000 years, but the Bible teaches that there will be other men that will be sitting upon thrones beside him, and they also shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Not only that, but there is going to be other great kings and great rulers throughout the earth. Not just the 12 sitting upon their throne. For the Bible said that thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Therefore we ourselves as people shall rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years according to that which God hath dealt unto us and found pleasing in us. The last enemy that shall be conquered is death. The last enemy that shall be conquered is death. Today, every great scientist, every great medical leader, every great millionaire, all of them together would give all that they have if they could discover one thing, and that is how to conquer death. Did you know that one man, if he discovered how to conquer death, he would be the great supreme or supremacy of the entire world. Did you know that? It wouldn't make any difference if there was billionaires or whatever. They'd bow down to him. All of the medical world would bow down to him. All of humanity would bow down to him. Because he would be the one that had made the supreme discovery that money could not buy, that nobody else has found. That is the keynote that Antichrist will use to cause all great, small, rich, poor, all of them to take the mark of the beast. That's the one thing that he will use. In convincing the people that he hath the power over life and death. You say, but Brother Pike, how will he do this? Anybody would know that nobody can do that. But the Bible says that the deadly wound was healed. The deadly wound was healed. And then out of the mouth of the dragon, the false prophet, the beast, went three unclean spirits. And the Bible said that they went throughout the earth, everywhere, working miracles to gather together all of those that were in the earth, all of the great men together, working miracles for one purpose. And this is why that I'm so against the charismatic order of today. Their one motive was to gather the great rich men together. The money men, the celebrities, the dignitaries, the movie stars. Like this man that's just recently published a little article, the $1 Million Club. He gave $3 million so everybody that gives the $1 million can be part of the $1 Million Club. He says it's for God. Dale Evans and Roy Rogers has already got into it. A number of the others that we read about has already got into it. I think maybe, I'm not sure whether Pat Boone has got into it or not. But it names some of the fabulous people that have already gotten into it. All of them, after one thing, And that is to get control of the great money powers of today, working miracles for one reason. One reason, not to glorify God. Their interest is not in glorifying God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you know when a miracle is worked that glorifies God? No. Do you believe that when by a great miracle that the deadly wound was healed, do you believe that that glorified God? The Bible said you'll have the power to make fire come down from out of heaven, but it's not going to glorify God. Working miracles, working a miracle is not the answer to salvation. That's not what glorifies God. Working a miracle doesn't glorify God. What then does glorify God? The Bible teaches that ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Ye should glorify God in your body, in your spirit. There's one glory of the moon, one glory of the stars, another glory of the different planets. We have a glory. Jesus said, Father, glorify me with thine own glory. Now this is the glory that we're looking for. There's the glory to a young man, his strength. He feels strong. You'll see him lifting weights, always wanting to fight, wanting to be a boxer, wanting to be a wrestler. Strength. He feels that strength flowing through his body. That's his glory. He praises himself in that. He magnifies himself in that. The glory of a woman is a hair. She thinks it's so pretty, and it disturbs her if it's not pretty. It disturbs her. She gets so disturbed if that hair isn't just right. She may not see anything about it, but she's tore all to pieces. She feels like her whole appearance is out of shape if her hair isn't right. She'll make out with it, do whatever she can, but her glory is her hair. I see a bald-headed man would be in bad shape if that was his glory. But see, that's her glory. Everything has a glory. But God, look at God's glory. There is no glory compared to God's glory. Jesus said, Father, glorify these with thine own glory. That's the glory that I'm looking for. Glorify these with thine own glory that I had with thee before the world ever was, Father. There is one glory of the stars. There is another glory of the church. What kind of glory? Not a glory to go out into the world to draw admiration, to set a charismatic thing in order to draw the wealthy, to get the admiration of all the dignitaries of the world. Not that kind of glory. Not the glory of having a bank account and a fine home, a new automobile and an education. Not glory of convenience in the earth, or trying to be the best looking man or the woman, or having the finest looking physique, as we say. That's not the glory. But finding the glory of God, having the glory. The Bible said the light of Jerusalem, her light was most precious. And John beheld the glory of the great city, for her light was most precious, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. My, what a spectacular glory that must have been. That glory. Why do you want the glory of God, Brother Pike? Why is it that you're pressing for the glory of God? For this reason. A young man's glory is his strength. A woman's glory is her hair. Everything has a glory. But my brother, my sister, there's but one glory that can conquer death. That's God's glory. That's why I want His glory. Because His glory conquers death. A young man's glory can't conquer death. Because the Bible said the battle is not to the strong. Somebody that would be young and flighty and speedy, as we say, can race about here and there. That won't conquer death. Going to the moon won't conquer death. The glory that they have in this world and their scientific discoveries won't conquer death. But God's glory will conquer death. God's glory hath already conquered death. And I want to be partakers of the divine glory of God. I am seeking to be partakers of His divine inspiration and His divine glory. How can I be partakers of it? Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that I had with you before the world ever was. How can I have that glory? He said, Father, make these one even as we're one. That's the secret of having His glory, is we have to be one with Him. If it is His glory, then I have to be one with Him. Some of you people here, you will never have the glory of God. You can't even be one with the pastor, let alone one with God. You say, well, I feel like the... Well, if you feel that way, then what are you doing here? The Bible said the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the saints. You better get somewhere where there's a true minister if you feel like this is not a true minister. You say, well, in that case, then I feel like you're a true minister. Well, you better become one with the pastor then. You got to go one way or another. You can't straddle the fence. Either I am or I ain't. Either you do or you don't. Either you believe or you are an unbeliever. If you keep in mind these things that I have taught you, Paul said, if you remember all of these things that I've spoke to you, keep them in your memory, then you are saved. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. He that holdeth fast unto the end, his faith. But my brother, sister, if you lay your faith down today, you're gone. If you turn loose of your faith, you're going to go in the lake of fire. You say, but I believe that I'm predestinated. That's fine, but that don't make it so, because you say you believe it. Somebody said, but if I believe it, it does make it so. I didn't say if you believe it. I said if you say you believe it, that doesn't make it so. You may be predestinated and still not be born again. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, Brother Pike, that couldn't be. Oh, yes, it could be. You could be predestinated and not be born again. How do you believe that Judas was predestinated? How do you believe Judas was born again? Now you say, well, that's a different thing. Why is it so different? The Bible said he obtained part of the ministry. Said he obtained part of this ministry. Isn't that right? He continued that way until the supper. And then the Bible said Satan entered into him. Satan wasn't in him before then. He had obtained part of the ministry. He had been out with them working miracles. The 70 had been out working miracles. But they lost their faith. They laid down the shield. They walked off. They left it. When it come to spiritual things and he got to preaching spiritual things, they couldn't understand spiritual things. So they lost out. Isn't that right? Besides that, you could be predestinated, godly predestinated, and still not be born again. Somebody say amen. You say, now, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that you could be the predestinated of God and not be born again. You could be the predestinated of God and be out here and be drunk. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, it doesn't matter. Even though you may be the predestinated of God, my brother Jesus said you must be born again. Every man must be born again. You say, but if I'm the predestinated, it doesn't matter. If you're the predestinated, you'll get born again. You may not be born again when you hear the gospel, And you may be the predestinated. You may be a drunk. But my brother, when you hear the truth, you'll get born again. So going around crowing about being predestinated doesn't mean anything. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, you might go for years and years and years and bring the wrath of God upon you, and you may suffer untold misery because you was a predestinated and hard-headed and just wouldn't listen, wouldn't come on in, wouldn't surrender. Them that he loves, he chastens. What we're talking about is being born again, my brother. We're talking about the glory of God, not trying to get to heaven off of being predestinated, but trying to believe God's word, hearing God's word. Because your predestination may be the wrong way. The Bible said these men were before of old ordained unto condemnation. When men start telling you, well, I ain't worried about it because I'm predestinated, so that's all right, brother. You go your way, I'll go mine. You might be predestinated to hell. So then, there is a difference in the glory. The last enemy to be conquered is death. When will this enemy be conquered? It's already been conquered at Calvary. But the thing is, the recognition of being conquered, that is, being applied to humanity, that's a different thing. But you say, Brother Pike, at the end of the millennium, the Bible said that death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Which means that hell is still on the rampage all these many days and years. That's true. But at the beginning of that millennium, Satan is bound for 1,000 years and death hath no power during that 1,000 years. But it still hasn't been conquered to the extent that humanity is still going to die, because Lucifer is going to be loose for a season. Then you say, how is it that you say that it's been conquered already at Calvary? Isn't it a true fact that Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never see death? And the Bible said he hath passed from death unto life. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The Bible said, over which the second death hath no power. You say, where is the first resurrection? Revelation 19, immediately after the tribulation period. The Bible said, and this is the first resurrection, when they come back on the white horses. Jesus with the vesture dipped in blood. But we who are already alive in Christ, we relate back to something even greater. Whereas they said, Lord, we know that our brother shall live again in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth on me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never see death. He's passed from death unto life. And shall not come into condemnation. Therefore we, before the tribulation period, are translated. We, when Brother Pike, will that day come that you yourself will have conquered death and be passed beyond death? When will that day come? My brother, it's already here. We crossed that many days back. That bridge was many days back. But can you prove that? I sure can. How can you prove it? The Bible said, blessed and holy is he. That means there's somebody blessed, there's somebody holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. What is the second death? The lake of fire after the millennium. The Bible said, and this is the second death. And all whose names were not written down in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire with death and hell. And they were cast alive into a burning lake of fire. Is that right? It was a burning lake of fire where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And these were cast alive into a burning lake of fire. So was death and hell. Hell is not eternal. It was cast into the lake of fire. It was created in the time of God's anger for the devil and his angels when Lucifer sinned against God. Now, I have passed from death unto life, Jesus said. Have you passed from death unto life? You say, but I'm predestinated. Jesus didn't say that. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me is passed from death unto life. It didn't say nothing about him being predestinated had passed from death unto life. So then, at the end of the millennium, the Bible said, after Jesus has ruled and reigned for 1,000 years, death is cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible said that is the last enemy, and that is the conquering of death. Death is then conquered. Then comes the great celestial. But my brother, by that time I've done been celestial for over 1,000 years. By that time I've already been celestial. Paul said there is a body that is terrestrial, there is a body that is celestial. The glory of the terrestrial is one. The glory of the celestial is another. What is the glory of the terrestrial? The terrestrial, when it's young, is a young man. The strength is the glory of the terrestrial. But what is the glory of the celestial? Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. The glory of the celestial is the very glory of God itself. It is God's glory. What is that glory? That great all-seeing ever awareness of understanding that is called light. Where there is no lack of understanding, the spiritual strength, power and magnificence of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory of the celestial comes how? Through Christ. Why? Because the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus alone is made heir to the glory of God. If I am partakers of that great glory, I must believe in Christ. For it is Christ within me that gives me the hope of the glory of God, of the glory of the celestial. Christ in you is the only hope that you've got of that glory, because he is the only heir to the glory of God. There is one glory of the stars, another of the moon. Why different glory of the stars? Scientists have learned that one is Jupiter, one planet is Pluto. They have drawn them up close enough to look at them and see that they differ in their appearance. They differ in their operation. That means they're different. Their glory is different. They're different altogether. They have a different glory. Each one of them different in glory. And the Bible said every man is made after his own order. I'm made after my order. What is my order in the earth? You pull up to a sandwich place and you say, they say, what? Give me your order. So you place your order. God sends out an order. The military forces send out an order. The president sends out an order. God has made an order. Every person after their own order. Everything functions according to godliness. It orbits in its orbit according to what God has ordained. The order. The order. I am after my own order. What do you mean, Brother Pike, after the order? Christ after his order. What was Jesus? Christ's order. And thou, O Son, after the order of the great priesthood, Melchizedek, from everlasting to everlasting, ye shall fold them up like a garment, and they shall wax old, be laid away. But thou, O Son, thou art from everlasting to everlasting. You cannot die. For thy priesthood is after the order of the great Melchizedek, the eternal God. That was his order. He was made after that order. What order am I made after? Every man after his own order. There's one thing for sure and certain. I'm certainly hoping and believing that I'm made after the order of Christ. He was my example. I ought to follow in his steps. I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Whatever it would be, your order, you are made every man after his own order. Death is the last enemy to be conquered. Have I conquered death? Through Christ, I've conquered death. He conquered it at Calvary. I have passed from death unto life. What is that death? What is death? You know, I say this again, we misconstrued death. If you got just a few minutes to listen, we misunderstand death. Death, the last enemy to be conquered, whereas it's evident that he's speaking of death, hell, being cast into the lake of fire. Death must be conquered. But blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. And the Bible said, and they were cast alive into a burning lake of fire, and this is the second death. The burning lake of fire, and this is the second death. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night. But they are tormented in the presence of the saints forever and ever. Eternal flames where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Now then, that is death. But have I passed from death unto life? And I've said this before. Death is when the soul is no more in the presence of life. Death is when the soul quits living. Death is when your soul can live no more. What causes the soul to die? Does it die? Jesus said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? To prove that he's speaking of the soul. Why do you say that? Because the Bible said the sting of death is sin. Therefore his subject is sin. And he said the soul that feels the sting. Therefore his subject is the soul. So then, I have passed from death unto life. What death? He speaks of one death. What death? O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? For the strength of the law is sin, and the sting of death. Or the strength of sin is the law, and the sting of death is sin. Now, it is evident that he is speaking of the sting of death, which is sin, which gets its strength by the law. Therefore, transgression of the law is sin. If thou canst keep in remembrance the things that I've told you, Paul said, to give the more earnest heed, lest ye should forget them or let them slip. The law, what did Jesus do when he died? He fulfilled the law. For who? For you and for me. Somebody would say, well, if Jesus is dead, the law's gone. We don't have to worry anymore. But the Bible said everyone that's fallen from grace is under the law. And no flesh shall be justified by the law. Therefore, you must be judged by the law. If you judge by the law, if nobody's ever fulfilled the law, if nobody's ever kept the law, if no flesh can be justified by the law, then you're a transgressor of the law. And the transgression of law is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Which means you have no power with God, no right with God. If you are under the law, then you are a sinner, then you are dead. You are dead, and you will die the death of the soul because you are under the law. But if I am in Christ under the grace of God, then he fulfilled the law for me by living in my heart the love of God. The love of God against such, the law of temperance, patience, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. Against such there is no law. The love of God has fulfilled the law and folded it up and laid it away. Therefore we must have the fruits of the love. For love is as strong as death. The fruits of the Spirit is joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, godliness. Against such there is no law. Therefore, they that serve God in these things have a clean conscience. They're free from the law. The law cannot touch them because there's no law against those things. But the law is for the ungodly. Therefore, the sting of death is sin. And what is death? What is death? And death is the enemy of God. And death is the last enemy that shall be conquered. And the Bible said God breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. And man became a living soul. A living soul. But when that soul sins, it's no longer a living soul. It is a dead soul. Therefore, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And what is that death? And they were cast alive into a burning lake of fire. Why? Because that is death. Eternal separation and suffering from God. You say, but Brother Pike, he said my soul would die. Those people are alive. They are alive just as much as you are alive. They know the torments of hell and the torments of the fire just as much as you know the torch of this heat. But their soul is dead. They've cut themselves off from God and the land of the living. Their iniquities is separated between them and their God. Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he shall never come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what he means is you'll never go by the grave. Then why does people that believe go by the grave, if that's what he means? And you don't believe that all of those people that have died, all of the generations of believers and Moses and Paul and all of them that's in the grave today, you don't believe that those people went to hell, do you? He wasn't talking about that death. I say this again. He was talking about the death of the soul, which is the lake of fire, referred to in the scriptures as the second death, which is the only death. The only reason he even speaks of another death is for your sake and your terminology. Because it is called the sleep. Lazarus sleepeth, he tells us in the scripture. He was seen of Cephas at his resurrection and then the 12 and then above 500 of the brethren. Whereas some of them still remain, but Paul said some are fallen asleep. Lazarus sleepeth. Therefore death is the different thing from sleep. We who have passed from death unto life, we shall never die. We shall never come into condemnation, for death is already conquered for us. Death is already conquered for us, but death is not conquered for the world. Death will not be conquered for the world until after the 1,000 years millennium reign. 1,000 years, even after this life, death will still not be conquered, though it will be bound within that 1,000 years and will be loosed after the 1,000 years, but it still won't be conquered. Destroyed, that is. Conquered, yes, at Calvary for those that believe. Destroyed after the millennium. The last one to be destroyed. Death is the last enemy. Have you conquered death? I've conquered death through Jesus Christ my Savior. I have passed from death unto life. Death hath no more power over me. Paul said, all of my life I was subject to the bondage of fear because of death. I have no more bondage by fear, for I do not fear death. I have passed from death unto life. Therefore, what am I doing? I am working that I might change this body into that beautiful celestial body. Whereas the Bible uses the terms in Thessalonians, change at the sounding of the trump when the dead gets up out of the grave, and then we make our change, then shall be brought to pass. The saying, O death, where is thy sting, grave? Where is thy victory? Somebody but similar, Brother Pike, you see right there that it's obvious that death still has its sting. And the grave still has its victory. It is true. The saying is still here. But there is another saying. He said, at that time shall be brought to pass the saying. The saying, which was the prophetical utterance from the Old Testament. The saying, the fulfillment of the scripture. All death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? That is because the grave cannot hold those that sleep because they will not sleep. There will be no more sleep because of the fall of Adam. But beloved friend, long before the Christian man lays down in the dust, he's already conquered death. He's already conquered the sting of death. Already passed from death unto life. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth. The man that dies out yonder that's a sinner, somebody says, well, they are asleep. They are not asleep. They are dead. They are dead. Those that are not born again are dead. I died with Christ at Calvary. I was buried in a watery grave. I am born a new creature in a new world to never die again. I am a new creature. I am a new babe in Christ. I am born in another world. I can never die. I am a son of God. I have passed from death unto life. But then shall be brought the pass, the saying. Why? Because it is then that they that look with the natural eye shall see and behold. And then their natural mind shall say, it happened. It happened. It happened. But beloved brother, sister, if it doesn't happen to you before then you can be sure that when they lay you down in the grave, you are dead. And you can be sure of one thing, that it won't happen to you at the Thessalonian change. If it don't happen to you now, when you lay down in the grave, at that saying, it won't happen to you. You say, why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said the wicked dead live not again till the 1,000 years was finished. That proves that those that go out there that lay down in the grave are dead. They that are Christians that lay down in the grave are asleep. At Thessalonians change, they are awakened. But those that are dead cannot wake. They cannot awake. It is after the millennium when hell delivers up the dead and the graves delivered up the wicked, which is the dead. When those places deliver up the dead, they are cast into the lake of fire. Because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We are not the dead. We will not be delivered up as the dead. We can be changed right now in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, by faith as Enoch was. And brother, sister, those that are in the grave that did not come to this great knowledge of change that we're coming to bring on the coming of Christ, our Savior, to bypass the grave. Those that are asleep, will Christ bring with him at his coming? For he is alive, resurrected from the dead, and they are alive. We which are alive and remain, that's what makes the saying be brought to pass. The saying will be brought to pass then. Why? Because we will never go into the grave. Hallelujah. We will never lay down into the dirt. Therefore, if we never lay down into the dirt, then shall be brought to pass the saying. Crave, you don't have any victory over these people. What happened? For isn't it a fact that the grave had a victory over those that have already slept? But where is your victory? And oh, death, you haven't had any victory over these people. These people have not died. Therefore, where is your power, oh, death? Why is it you can't kill these folks? Grave, where is your victory? Why is it that these people are bypassing you? Then shall be brought to pass the saying, oh, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is your victory? You love Jesus? For death is the last enemy to be destroyed or to be conquered. Now then, he hath been conquered for us. We pass from death unto life. We are working toward the redemption of our body, believing unto the saving of the soul, the celestial body we are claiming in Jesus' name, to believe it as Enoch did, to bring it to pass, and that he was translated by faith in his body that he should not see death, believing it as he did, believing as Elijah, we're believing as Jesus that stood on the mountain in the transfiguration, we're believing because we have come to the fullness of his wonderful plan in this age. Coming to this, we are believing that we will bypass the grave, that we'll be translated. Not only have we been translated in our spirit into the marvelous kingdom of our God, but that he be made manifest in our mortal bodies the glory of the celestial. For we have the glory of the celestial. I already have the glory of the celestial. All I have to do is release the glory of the celestial from within me. Sown in weakness, raised in power. How do we come into the power of God? I'd love to talk on that one night. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. They publish peace, saying, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's sing a little chorus together. You may challenge God. You may challenge the word of God. You may challenge the things of God, only to find out in the end that you lost the eternal reward that was offered you. You may reason in your own mind. You may go your own way. You may do your own thing. But you're going to miss the redemption of the body. And when you miss the redemption of the body, my brother, you missed it all. Somebody would say, well, I might not go to church and I might not get in on all of this, but there's one thing about it, I'm going to get in on that body redemption. My brother, body redemption comes from within. It comes from within. It comes from within. Birth, life, Christ formed within you, the hope of glory, it comes from within. Life is bred from within. From within comes life. From within. Christ within you is the only hope of that glory of the celestial. He's the only hope of that glory of that celestial body. It is that Christ in you, that glory within you, that Holy Spirit within you that must come out through the blood genetics from glory to glory, being transformated. Paul said, by the renewing of your mind, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. being translated into the Spirit by His Spirit, your spirit into His Spirit of holiness, your mind being transformed into His mind. Thus your body will be transfigured into His celestial body. He within you, He's the hope of that glory within making itself manifest in your genetics, in your outer body, and preserving that body from the skin worms and the dust. That's why I tell you, you have to be pure in heart. Only the pure in heart shall see God, for God is the Spirit and the Spirit of holiness. Only the pure in heart will receive the Spirit of glory, for God is the Spirit of glory. Only the pure in heart shall see through the eyes of understanding that great Spirit of glory that will come into your heart and break forth from within into your blood genetics from glory to glory to transfigure your body into the celestial condition of everlasting preservation so that it will never perish or corrupt. Do what you will in being religious. Go where you will. Attend the church that you will. Say what you will. Be as religious as you will. Be as active as you will in all things that you will. Learn all that you will. Tell all that you will. Talk about all that you will. But when you get through, the only thing that is the will of God, that is real, that will work, is Christ, the Spirit of glory within your pure heart, or purifying your heart by faith as you believe in His Holy Spirit or in His Spirit of holiness. You believe in the finished works of Jesus, and you prove your faith by your works, your deeds, in conformity to the life of the living Word that you're tutored in, conforming to it, dying daily within your own body to surrender to His way of life, His mind, His life, His body, His deeds, His desire, doing always the things that please the Heavenly Father, being about the Father's business. So then the pure in heart shall see God, for God is that great light. Nobody can see Him. Through the eyes of your understanding, you comprehend Him and bring Him into your heart to purify your heart, that He might make Himself manifest in your mortal genes unto celestial beings. Let's sing this little chorus together. God is bringing forth the man child. God is bringing forth the man child. God is bringing forth the man child. Christ in you and me. Bringing forth the man child. How's it go, friend? He's bringing forth the man child. Hallelujah. I don't remember the words to it. Sing the words out, Frank, as we go. Christ is bringing forth the man child. Christ is bringing forth the man child. Christ is bringing forth the man child. The Christ in you and me. See, his sweet glory to see. God's bringing forth the man child, Christ in you and me. God's bringing forth the man child. God is bringing forth the man child. God is bringing forth the man child. Christ in you and me. One day we shall see His glory to see. Christ is bringing forth the man child. Christ in you and me. I can't remember the words of it. But one day we'll see His bright glory. We'll see God's bringing forth a man child. It's Christ in you and me. You know, we sang that song, oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that changes. Oh yes, it's changing me, changing me. The glory's changing me. His glory's changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh, the light of that glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Now let's sing like this. Give me another key, Frank. Let's sing the song, Let Thy Will Be Done. This is the way you get changed. Let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. The Father that sinned the Son, or it's in Thy shining glory that we see Thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let Thy will be done. Can you lift your hands up now? While He's playing, let Thy will be done, Lord. Let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. It's the Father in the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see Thy Holy One. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord, let Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Ora mando ramanda di arabushi da barriando ramanda ramosi da barriando ramanda rasai. Mandali andala mandala mololo shandali andala manolo bosai. Holy One of Heaven, let the will of God be done, my Father. Let the will of God be done. Hallelujah. Heal tonight, save tonight, forgive tonight. Father, bless these people. Holy Father, save tonight and deliver. In the name of Jesus, Father, help us. Help us in all that we're doing. In Jesus' name. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up where the wings like an eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Hallelujah. Jesus is so good. They that are willing to wait upon the Lord shall have the strength of an eagle. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Tonight I'd like to ask you to remember the sister that comes down from Cleveland. Remember her in prayer. A few days ago her brother died. And it was just today that they got word that her sister dropped dead. So she's going through a real experience. So don't forget to pray for her. Could be your sister, your brother, my sister, or brother. It could be your loved ones. It could be you. It could be me. People are dying everywhere. Hundreds of people. I believe over 600 people have already died from the heat. Let's pray and believe God. And ask God to help us and God to bless us. Don't be haughty. A haughty spirit goeth before fall. Pride before destruction. Be humble. Temperance, patience, meekness, long-suffering. Against which there is no law. Praise God.